Amen. Salvation has come. Now everybody's looking at me weird going, why is he sitting down? Well, there's a reason. There's a whole reason for this. I think it's actually, don't y'all, do y'all think this looks nice up here? Listen, I want to give props to Brother Rodney today. Rodney Cartier. We told Amy and I came to him and we told him a couple of weeks ago, hey, we want you to help me build something because Lord knows I can't build nothing. I can't do anything as far as building. Rodney, on the other hand, he took scrap wood and put this thing together. And Rodney, I want to tell you, I know he's watching online right now. Thank you so much. It looks wonderful. He did a great job, didn't he? But we wanted him to do this because I wanted to do a series starting today. And I'm going to start every week sitting right here. And I want you to make sure to be here on December the 19th. Everybody say December the 19th. December the 19th, we're going to do something very special. We're going to have what I'm calling a true family Christmas service. A true family Christmas service. And that is going to be an important day for us to have every child, every teenager, every student, everybody that is a young person, we want them here because we're going to do something very special that day. And we're going to read the Christmas story to them from right here. I'm going to gather them up, and they're going to help me preach my message that day. And it's going to be, you know, they always say, beware when you work with animals and children. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also a little scared. But I'm looking forward to it. But if you would, make sure to be here for that. Make sure to be here for that. And bring somebody with you. Bring somebody that you want to be a part of your family. Somebody you want to be a part of the family of God. Because I believe that God is getting ready to do something incredible here at Calvary Temple. He's already starting to do it. We've already seen people come in and lives changed. I've heard three or four different people in the past 2 weeks tell me, I don't know where I would be. Somebody told me this today, and they're not the first person. I don't know where I'd be without Calvary Temple. I don't know where I'd be without the love of the people of my family. So I encourage you, have somebody here with you. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 30 says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. Oh, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary." Somebody say, "Don't be afraid." "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, if you would, skip on over to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And it reads like this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." Turn to the person next to you and say, "You afraid yet?" "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Let's pray. Father God, right now I yield myself to you. And today, Lord, I pray that you would have your will in your way, that my words would be few, your words would be powerful, and that I would disappear from this stage. And that, God, you would come in my place and that you would reach the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, the title of this entire series is called Conversations by the Fire. Conversations by the Fire. Now, the particular title of this message is Conversations by the Fire, or Conversations with an Angel. Conversations with an angel. There are two, see, sitting down and discussing things around a fire is something that I love to do. How many of you like campfires? I love campfires. Now, I know this thing is not real. If I had a real fire in here, I'd be in trouble. Okay? We'd all be in here going, amen. Okay. But I understand I can't have a real fire in here, but I love sitting by a real fire. Matter of fact, we just got our fireplace working about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and we've already fired it up five or six times. And it wasn't even cold. I just like the smell of a fire. I like the look of a fire. We have a fire pit outside that we will go out and sit out and just sit around and talk. And Amy and I love to sit and talk and do that kind of thing. It's one of the best places to sit and have a discussion with somebody. Because eventually, you end up getting into some deep subjects sometimes. How many of you ever get into deep subjects when you're sitting around a fire? For some reason, it brings out your inner philosopher. Okay? And some of y'all are sitting there going, I don't need no more inner philosopher coming out of me. But it brings out your inner Socrates or whatever you want to call it. And you start getting these ideas of, you know what we should do? And it really starts bringing out discussions about how you can do things around the house. I can't tell you how many projects have all of a sudden came up while we were sitting around the fire. And Amy says, you know what would look really pretty on this deck? And I'm going, oh, my Lord, please, Jesus, help me. And next thing you know, we're hanging lights outside. We're doing this outside. And I'm looking around. And also, I'm looking at my own projects going, man, there's a lot of leaves in this yard. Somebody needs to rake them up. DJ! But no. But we sit around, and it's something about a fire that lends itself to talking all night. I love sitting around a fire and just talking the night away, and it seems to bring out those deep conversations. Everything works great until the wind shifts, and all of a sudden that smoke blows directly in your face, and it seems to chase you all the way around the fire pit. And next thing you know, you spend the next 3 minutes hacking up a lung because it seems like you've ingested something kind of poison that is trying to get out of your body. Anybody ever done that? The smoke always seems to chase Amy when we're at the house, and that's why we just tell her it chases beauty. I know how to get points now. Come on. Some of y'all need to take notes on that. But during this series, we're going to take a look at conversations that happen by a fire. And I want to have a conversation with you like this, by a fire, maybe a fake fire, but it's a fire, conversations where we're going to talk about some deep things of God and some things that's important. During this series, we're going to take a look at a conversation that happened around Jesus' birth. And today, it's a conversation with an angel. Now, as we read through the Christmas story in Luke, we see two different conversations with angels. We just read both of them. One of them was with Mary, where the angel spoke with her and said, you are favored. You're going to have a baby. And she went, what? I don't think so. No, I'm a good girl. I ain't done nothing. But he said, but the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and then you're going to have a baby. She said, okay, whatever. And then we have the, I know, I'm shortening things down. And then we have the other conversation. The other conversation is the one with the shepherds, where they're out in the field just kicking back, having a good time. The Bible actually says as the shepherds were abiding in the fields with their flocks. That basically means they lived in the field during this time. So at night they would build a little fire and they would cook their meat or they would cook whatever they needed. I don't know what they were cooking at the time. They could have killed one of the little lambs and gotten a little meat out of it. They could have gotten I don't know. Maybe they were cooking hummus. I don't even know. I wouldn't have eaten it, but that's okay. But all these things. That first conversation was between Mary and the angel. The second conversation was between the shepherds and the angel. Both of these conversations, what I want you to see is both these conversations started off the exact same way. Both of them started the exact same way with the exact same words. Both of them started like this. The angel looked at Mary and said, do not be afraid. Because the Bible says that she was perplexed. She was worrisome. She was wondering and she was afraid. And the Bible says that the angel said, do not be afraid. And then you flip over to Luke chapter 2, and it says that he looked at the angel, looked at the shepherds. The shepherds were terrified. Everybody say terrified. Give me your best terrified face. Okay, some of y'all got it down. Others of you, you're like, I ain't scared of nothing. But he looked at the shepherds and said, do not be afraid. Turn to somebody and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, the first thing that is addressed in the conversation, in their conversation, is the fear that rose up inside of them. Now, can I share something with you? I believe that God has been trying to carry on a conversation with certain people inside this room, and fear has crept up inside of you because of what he's asking you to do. There's conversations that God has been trying to have with people here at Calvary Temple that fear has silenced your conversation because you have shut down because God has asked you to do something, and all of a sudden you lock up and you go, I can't do that. No, that's not me. That's not me. No. I don't like that kind of stuff. No, God, you can't ask me to do that. You can't ask me to step out. You can't ask me. No, God. And we start arguing. And it shuts the conversation down. See, when any of you ever walked into a room that you knew absolutely nobody in the room? How many of you were sort of afraid when you walked into that room? How many of you did not talk to anybody until somebody came to talk to you? Why? Because we were afraid to start a conversation. Fear shuts down our words. It shuts down our faith. It shuts down our conversations that we were supposed to have. If we're not careful, fear will shut down the conversation that God is trying to have with you while you're sitting here listening to this word. Because we're afraid of what God is wanting to do in our life. Because it's going to challenge us. Some of us don't like challenges. I love a challenge. Somebody tell me I can't do something, forget that. I'm going to go find a way. I'll find a way to make it happen. Why? Because I like challenges. But some people, when God challenges you to do something, all of a sudden fear rises up and it shuts you down. You end up not doing anything because you're so afraid of it. Fear had to be the first thing that this angel addressed when it came to them. If we are ever to fulfill our purpose in the grand design, in the great design of God's kingdom, we have to have the conversation about fear on the inside of us. We have to have a conversation on the fear on the inside of us. Fear does not, you can write this down, fear does not belong in a godly relationship. Fear does not belong in a godly relationship. You should not be afraid of your spouse, right? Amen? You should not be afraid of your spouse. You should not be afraid of your kids. Your kids, now some people would argue with me on this one. Your kids should not be afraid of you. They should respect you, but they should not be afraid of you. They should not feel like they can't bring you something. They should not feel like they can't come and talk to you. They should not feel like they can't bear their heart and their soul to you. They should not be afraid of you to the point to where if they mess up that they can't come to you and go, I messed up. See, condemnation does this. It keeps us from bringing it to God. Conviction lets us bring it to God and say, here, I messed up. Condemnation, we hide it under a rug. Conviction, we say, God, I messed up. Can you fix it? That's what we're supposed to do. Conviction is what we need in our life, not condemnation. Fear brings about condemnation. Fear does not belong in a godly relationship. We will always react in a human way. How many humans we got in the room? If you're not a human, you need to come and see me, okay? But we have reactions to good news. When you hear good news, how do you react? Yay! I heard something the other day, and listen, I'm not going to go there. But I heard something the other day where somebody said something that was good that happened to their life. And I was like, that is awesome, wonderful. And I got a smile on my face. I was hollering with them. I was celebrating with them. But then we also have the reaction of bad news when we hear about a sickness or we hear about someone that passed away. When I heard about Brother Rodney's sister passing away, my heart sank and my heart went out to him. And I started praying for him and I was hurting for him. Why? Because that's a human reaction. We are supposed to react with emotions. We are supposed to react with these in a human way. When we react to pain, we're going to react to pain. We're going to have an emotional reaction. If you don't believe me, come and see me. I'll take a hammer. I'll hit you as hard as I can on your big toe. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a reaction. Most likely it's going to be to dick me after you scream bloody murder. But you're going to react. Why? Because we're human. We're going to react in certain ways. We react to pain. We also react to the uncertainty and to the unknown. And that's where fear comes in. Fear sometimes will try to creep in when we don't know what's going to happen, when we don't know where we're going or what's going to happen to us. Yes, the more we mature and the longer we live, we need to be careful of how we control and how we react at certain times. Especially as Christians, we got to be careful how we react, right? I talk about this a lot. I guess I have a problem with road rage. That's the reason why I talk about people cutting me off all the time. But we got to be careful that we don't shake our fist at somebody and scream and holler at them. We've got to control our reaction. When somebody cuts us off, when somebody cusses us out, our natural reaction is to come back at them. You want to talk to me like that, big boy? Come here. Let me handle you real quick. And I'm going to take care of you. We want to react that way. But as Christians, we're not supposed to. Now, we're not supposed to be doormats. But we don't react and try to cause harm for harm. I don't remember Jesus doing that at any time. As a matter of fact, I remember the Bible saying that we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Now, how many times are we supposed to do that? I don't know. 7 times 7, which is actually it's a symbol of an eternity. We're supposed to forgive. So we have to be careful about how we react. Emotions are a huge part of our lives. Love, joy, sadness, despair, anger, fear, pride. These are natural reactions to situations that arise. In both these conversations that we just talked about, imagine what was going through their minds. Think about Mary and her reaction in Luke chapter 1, verse 29, where it says, she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. She was sitting there and she was wondering, I don't understand this. He said, greetings, and that I'm highly favored. I don't know how I'm highly favored. I'm just a teenage girl. I'm just hanging out in my house. And then all of a sudden this dude shows up and tells me, I'm favored? This ain't right. This is weird. If somebody showed up in your room in the middle of the night, what would y'all do? Most of us be reaching for a gun. But she turned around and this angel said, greetings, favored woman of God. God's presence. Listen, even imagine how intimidating it was for the shepherds in Luke 2:9. Where it says, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Those two phrases don't go together. The glory of the Lord surrounded them, and they were terrified. The glory of the Lord surrounded them. And listen, when the glory of the Lord shows up, we're not supposed to be afraid. We're supposed to have joy. We're supposed to have peace. We're supposed to have power. But something happened that changed that. God's presence was never meant to bring fear into our lives, but to bring peace, power, and healing. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. What is the one emotion? What is something that is not mentioned in there that we always have come up and that we just talked about coming up with those shepherds? Fear. Nowhere in there does it say that the Lord gives them the spirit of fear. No, that is not a fruit of the Spirit. Fear is not something that God intended for us to have. Now, some of y'all are sitting there going, I don't know about this. Well, let's talk about it. The angel recognized what was happening, and he spoke directly to the situation. As soon as he saw Mary, and it says that she was disturbed. You can tell when somebody's disturbed on their face, right? They got that resting, disturbed face. Or that terrified look. That terrified look, sort of like the look that your husband gives you when it's your anniversary and he forgot. Okay. I can imagine that's what the shepherds were doing. I imagine that's what Mary was doing. She was confused. She was disturbed. They were afraid. They were terrified. And the angel recognized what was happening. If he wasn't careful to diffuse the situation, then the humanity and the fear would have kept them from receiving the conversation from God, receiving the blessing they were about to receive. What this angel had to do is he had to eliminate what God did not create. Let me say that again. God did not create fear. As a matter of fact, you go back to Genesis. The first thing, fear did not exist until the fall of man. The first thing that fear did was try to separate man from God. The first thing it did. Why do I say that? In Genesis 3:10, he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was what? Afraid. I was afraid. You know, that's the very first time in the Bible that afraid is mentioned or fear is mentioned. It's because of the fall of man, the fear entered into our lives. The fear entered into our hearts. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Fear stole Adam and Eve's conversation with their Creator. Adam and Eve used to walk with God in the garden. They used to carry on conversations with Him. They used to hang out together. They used to talk about the future. They used to talk about the animals. They used to hang out. He didn't have to be afraid of the lion, the tiger, and the bear. Oh my. He didn't have to be afraid of all that kind of stuff. He didn't have to be afraid of all the animals. So they would walk through. That'll hit y'all here in a minute. He had to walk through. They walked through the garden with God. They would walk through the garden with God without fear of His presence, without fear of who He was and what He could do in their lives. They walked with Him without fear. But because of their failure, because of their mistake, because of them stepping away from God's design in their life, fear entered and stole their time away from God. Church, listen to me. If we're not careful, we will let fear keep us from the destiny and the purpose that God has created you for. It will keep us from the conversation that He wants to have with us about the habits in our life that are not godly. It'll keep us from the conversation that He wants to have with us about the ministry that He wants us to be involved in, about the fact that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, someone that is called to be a priest and a messenger from God. Well, I can't do that. I'm too afraid. I can't do that kind of. But God says, fear is not something I created. We have to get rid of it because, again, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Are you with me today? Are you enjoying our conversation so far? You see, if we aren't careful when God speaks, when He begins to speak, we will let the enemy use fear to separate us from the blessing and the conversation God is trying to bring to us. Mary and these shepherds' first reaction was to be terrified, but this angel recognized the wedge that fear was trying to put between them. And in Luke 10:2, the angel reassured them, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's what he said to the shepherds. He said the same thing to Mary. Do not be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring joy, great joy to all people. When God calls us to fulfill our destiny and our purpose, don't let the enemy use fear as a tool against you. Don't let him scare you out of your purpose because you feel unqualified. Because you feel unworthy. Because you feel like it's not within your strength. Because you feel like it's something that's too heavy for you to bear. Don't let the fear disqualify you. Don't let it steal your conversation with God. When we remember, or let me go back. When God calls on us to fulfill our destiny, We can't let fear be used as a tool. And we ask the questions, what is God going to require of me? What is he going to require of me? What am I going to have to give up? What will people think of me? What if I fail? God, you chose the wrong person. I seem to remember Moses telling him that. But Moses ended up leading the entire nation out of Egypt. You chose the wrong guy. And God said, who made man's mouth? So that he could speak. Who created you? God's up there with the owner's manual going, hey, you know what? I created Steve, and this is what I've got in my owner's manual for him. He's going to be a great man of God. He's going to look good in a suit, and he's going to be an awesome guy that's going to help Pastor Aaron do a whole lot of great things. Okay, I was expecting more from that. I didn't even get an amen from Steve. I was wondering about that. But he's got the owner's manual up there, and he's looking at your life, and he's saying, I've got plans for you. I've got destiny for you. I've got desires for you. But if you're afraid of it, if you're afraid to even get into the conversation with him, all of that will be stolen from you. We can't be afraid. Somebody say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The question is, how do we keep fear from stealing our conversation with God? Now, see, as I was preparing this message, it took a completely different turn than I thought it was going to. I was headed in a completely opposite direction, and God said, take a left. So, and I started thinking, and I said, you know what, God, you're right. I've told them, don't be afraid, but I haven't told them how. So I got to thinking, I wanted to answer the question of how do we keep fear from stealing our conversation. The first way that we do it is that we remember God's character. When you're talking to God, you got to remember his character. Remember who he is. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how much he loves you. Matter of fact, his character is love. The Bible says that God is love. How are we going to be afraid of love? How are we going to be afraid of the love of a father? He doesn't just have love for you. 1 John 4 tells us that his very being is love. His love for us is the very reason why we celebrate Christmas. It's the reason we're able to have conversation with him. His love for us is the reason why he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross. The fact that he loved us enough to send his own very son to earth. 1 John 4:10. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God is love. His character exudes love. It exudes his care for us. Even in the conversations where God is disciplining us, he does it in love. How many of you, your parents disciplined you when you were younger? Now, some of us, we're sitting there going, they didn't do it out of love. They beat the stew out of me. Listen, I understand. But as a godly father, when God created us and when he corrects us, the Bible says that when he corrects those that he loves. I talked with somebody about this the other day. He corrects those that he loves. His love for us is proven in the fact that he doesn't want us to make a mistake. He doesn't want us to trip up and fall. He wants to pick us up and to move us forward. Even in the conversations where he corrects us, he does it in love. Now, sometimes it's tough love. I've had God look at me plenty of times and say, Aaron, why are you being so stupid? That's me and God talk that way. Okay, I understand. He looks at me and says, why are you being so dumb? Why'd you put yourself in this situation? You know it's not what God, I want you to do. Why did you say this? You wasn't supposed to say that. I didn't want you to say that. I wanted you to say this. And then I have to go back and I have to apologize. And I have to change things. Why? Because God corrected me out of love. But if he was a God that I was afraid of, one that I was fearful of, I still respect him. But if I was fearful of who he was and fearful of what he would do to me, then I wouldn't have a conversation with him. I would lock him out and not let him correct me. It is in that love that he proves himself to us, even in those conversations. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child." He is a father that loves and cares for his children. Matthew 7:11 says this, "So if you sinful people," talking about us, how many of you are buying your kids Christmas presents this year? Or buying somebody that you love Christmas presents? Now, let's be honest. Most of our kids, they don't deserve Christmas presents because they're a bunch of spoiled looking. No, I'm going to go there. Most of them don't deserve the kind of Christmas presents that we give them. But we give them to them anyway. Why? Because we love them. Because we want the best for them. Because we want to sow seed into them. Because we want them to be blessed. In Matthew 7:11, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who will ask?" When we remember that the conversation we are having is covered and formed in the love that he has for us, it drives out the fear that tries to steal that conversation. When we remember God's character, perfect love drives out all fear. It will get rid of the fear in our life. It will get rid of the fear that tries to pull us down. So we've got to remember God's character. And then we've also got to remember God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan. When God comes to us and that fear tries to rise up and tries to steal that conversation, we remember his character, that he is love. And then we have to remember that he has a plan. He doesn't come to us half-baked or just on a whim. Mary wanted to know what was going on. She's like, okay, now listen, angel. You told me that I'm going to have a baby. I ain't ever been with a man. I don't plan on being with a man until I get married to my husband Joseph. I know I can have a baby after that, but I don't want to. And she's sitting there and she's asking all these kind of questions. And God has already got it all worked out because the angel even explained it to her. Church, listen to me. When we have questions, all we got to do is bring them to God and say, God, listen. I don't understand your plan. You've got to explain it a little bit. You've got to help me out a little bit. He may not share everything with you, but he'll let you know part of his plan. He'll let you know that his plan is what his plan is for you. The angel went on and explained everything in Luke 1, 35 and 37. Then the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. The Word," and this is verse 37, and this is what I love, "the Word of God will not fail." If God has spoken it to you, it cannot fail. If God has spoken it in you, it cannot fail. Turn to somebody and say, it cannot fail. The shepherds found everything just like the angel said. Verse 20 says, it was just as the angel had told them. They could have decided, you know what, I'm not going down to that city. I'm not going down to that town. But they went down and they found everything exactly like the angel said. Why? Because God has a plan. When God plans something, he leaves nothing to chance. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything," somebody say everything, "everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. You are called with a purpose. You are called with a design. God has not left anything to chance. You are already on your path, and God is going to smooth out the road ahead of you. He is going to bring it to pass because His word never fails. If we know God's plan, we cannot fail. And if we're a part of that plan, what is there to be afraid of? So we have to remember, to get rid of the fear in our life, we have to remember God's character. He is love. We have to remember He has a plan. He has a purpose and a destiny for us. And lastly, we have to remember that God gave you a purpose. The purpose of Mary was to be the mother of the Savior of the world. The purpose of those few shepherds was to go and to worship and to tell others. That was their purpose. It wasn't just so that the angels would have something to do that night. Hey, Gabriel, y'all go sing to the shepherds. I ain't got nothing else for y'all to do. Y'all just go down there and hang out with. No, the reason why He wanted them to go down there is because they were supposed to start spreading the word. Because the Bible says that they went afterwards and told everyone of what the angels said. When God reveals your purpose, respond the way that they did. I love the way that Mary responded in Luke 1:28, where it says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then the angel left her. You see, again, we have a say-so in our destiny. Mary could have freaked out and said, that ain't me, God. But she said, she dealt with the fear on the inside of her. She said, may what you say happen. I am your servant, and I am yours to do with as you will. Let me ask you something. Is that how you carry on your conversation with God, or do you start arguing? God, it's not me. You can't call me to do that. That's not something that I like. That's not something I want to do. Listen, when we remember our purpose is found in Him, there is no need to fear His voice. If you would stand with me. I'm getting ready to close. Let me ask you something. What conversation has been canceled by your fear? What conversation has been canceled by your fear today? Maybe it's about your personal relationship with God and how God desires more than what you're giving Him. Maybe it's about God's plan and His purpose for your life. Maybe it's about stretching your faith and giving so that you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to step out in faith. Maybe that fear is keeping you from listening and hearing the voice of God because of that conversation being stolen from you. Don't be afraid of a conversation with your Father. Remember His character. When He speaks in love, always. Remember, He has a plan. He has a plan, and He speaks in detail about His plan in our conversations, always. And remember, you have a purpose. Say, I have a purpose. Some of you still haven't grasped that yet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Father God, today I pray that You would sweep over this place and that You would remind us of our purpose. So many people now in today's society feel beat down and they feel broken down. They feel like they can't carry out anything that You've called them to do because they're so broken, because they've messed up too much. They're too far away from You, or maybe they're too old, they're too young, they're too big, too small. All these things, and they think, I can't do that because it's not me. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would start to sweep over this place and remind us all we have a purpose. Right now, God is whispering in your ears, Some of you, God is whispering in your ears the things that you thought were long gone from the past, where he spoke to you years ago about things that he wanted you to do and things that he dreams that he wanted to plant inside of you, but they never came to pass, and you just sort of left them aside because they felt too big, or they felt too strong, they felt too large for you to handle. And God's whispering in your ears again, you have a purpose. My purpose has not changed in your life. Some of us in here, we need to realize our first purpose is to be a servant. Head bows, eyes closed. If you're in this room and you, right now, you have not been a servant of God. I'd be wrong if I didn't give you the opportunity, but if you're in this room today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to make that decision today, you want to have that conversation with him to save your life, to save your soul right now. If that's you and you want to give your life over to him, I invite you to raise your hand in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now still, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to speak to those of you that fear has been stealing your conversations with God. Some of you have been afraid to go to God because you've had more condemnation than conviction. You're afraid to bring those situations to God that you struggle with. If you're in this room today and fear has kept you from speaking to your Father, and you want to start a conversation with him, you want to address the fear, you want to hear him say, "Do not be afraid." He's shouting that over you right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come to me. Don't be afraid to bring it to me. Don't be afraid to let go of that situation. Don't be afraid to let go of that relationship. Don't be afraid to get that new job. Don't be afraid to continue in the job you're in. Don't be afraid to be the witness that you're supposed to be. Don't be afraid to start that ministry. Don't be afraid to step out in faith. If that's you today and you want to get rid of the fear in your life, then right now I just invite you to raise your hand in Jesus' name, right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you would, I want you, everyone in the place, to raise up both hands, and I want you right now just start to worship. God, right now, we run from fear. We cast fear out. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask you to bring love into this room and love into this place, and that you would remind us that your perfect love casts out all fear. That God, in the name of Jesus, that you have created us with purpose for a purpose. And that God, you want us to carry out that purpose and that destiny today. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that those that are struggling with the fear in their lives, those that are struggling with the pain in their hearts, those that are struggling with the past, those that are struggling with the future and the uncertainty, God, in the name of Jesus, show them, Lord, that you are a God of character, you are a God of love, and that, God, you've got a plan and a destiny for them and a purpose for them. In Jesus' name. And if you receive that, say amen. Amen. Can we give God praise this morning?